you gotta watch what you preach sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And this has happened to me over and over again, because you preach something or you pray something, and God all of a sudden uses that to teach you the real lessons in the midst of things. You know, last week I was preaching about no fear, you know, that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. You remember that? And then this week he let me know what it's like to be afraid, to fear and to trust in him and recognize that he didn't give us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear that we cower and say, oh no, everything's horrible, everything's terrible. But he gives us the Holy Spirit, that is a spirit of power, that lets us know that he can overcome any circumstance that we're facing at any point in our lives. It's been a tough week with Karina. Honestly, it's been tough. There's been fear, there's been doubt, there's been all kinds of different things going on. But in the midst of it, there's been a peace. There's been some tears, but there's been some great peace knowing that God's in control. And we can absolutely trust him in every aspect of our lives. For one reason. Because we know that we love him. And we know that he will cause all things to work for good for those who love him and call according to his purpose. God is good. So this morning, with all that in mind, knowing that God loves to teach us lessons, I decided I'm going to preach on the challenges and temptations of having too much money and time. You didn't get it, but okay. No, I'm not going to be preaching on that this morning. I just thought maybe I would kind of put a bug in his ear. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. So, no, actually, I've been working all week, not as much as I'd like to, but I've been working all week on a message that didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me until last night. Last night, I dropped off the kids at a bonfire for them to go have fun. I was going to have 2.5 hours of my own time. Taking care of, Kathy's been taking care of Karina and Vernon back there, who's absolutely wonderful, taking care of them. So I've been taking care of the dog. She gets the grandbaby, and I get the grand dog. You see how that works? We had to take care of Kip all week. So we've been taking care of my kids and Kip and all the different things in the household and stuff like that. So it's been a crazy week all week, just running. And last night when I dropped off the kids at the bonfire last night, I had 2.5 hours of like, whew, I'm going to go into the office. I'm going to really sit down. I'm really going to get into this passage that I've been struggling with all week. And I went out to feed the horses, or let the horses out last night at Larry and Kathy Anderson's. And as I was there, I thought my rope was there, my lasso rope. And I don't know what happened yesterday. This doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, but it's kind of fun. I don't know what happened yesterday morning, but I've been practicing roping, like cowboy roping stuff. And I've been trying to practice on heeling rather than catching the heads. I've been trying to practice on being able to catch the hind heels. And there's a certain way you have to get the rope to throw, and it has to land in a certain direction, in a certain way for it to fall in front of their hind feet, and then their hind feet get it, and then you set it. And I've been working on this for a long time, and all of a sudden yesterday morning, I have no idea why, but I pulled out the rope, and I threw it, and it landed perfectly. I mean, exactly the way it's supposed to. I was like, wow. And I did it again, and yesterday morning, it like clicked in my head on how to do it, the right motion or whatever. And so last night when I went to let the horses out, I grabbed my rope because I wanted to see if I could still do it. And so I was out there throwing the rope, and it was landing perfectly, and Larry came up, and he and I got to talking, and he has a little project that he wanted to work on. I'm going to pick on Larry big time this morning. But so yesterday morning, yesterday evening, instead of coming in and working on it, Larry and I worked on this little project that he had. He has moss on the pond. He's wanting to get rid of the moss, and so we were trying to figure out how we were going to distribute the chemical to get rid of the moss. And he had this grand idea that he's got this old boat motor in the horse barn, that we could get the boat motor going, and then we could get the old John boat out of the rafters and bring it down, and we could put the motor and the boat on the pond and distribute the chemicals and stuff like that. I'm like, he goes, you want to give it a try? And I'm like, yeah. And I thought he meant like tomorrow or sometime this week, but he meant right then. So we pull this old boat motor out. What's the name of it? It's not a Yamaha. Katonka? Tonka. So how many of you heard of Tonka boat motors? Okay, so you know where this is going right now, right? Tonka. So he pulls this old boat motor out. And as he's pulling it out, it's got a cover on it and stuff like that, because Larry takes such good care of everything. And as he's taking the cover off, it just literally falls apart, doesn't it? I mean, it literally fell into pieces. I mean, like hundreds of pieces, this cover over the boat. And we pull the boat motor out, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, really? And then he pulls the gas tank out, and the gas tank is one of those, it must not be terrible, it's red plastic, but you couldn't even tell it was red plastic. It was just covered in dirt and dust, and Larry's going, oh, why are you telling all this? But the gas line had broken off of the gas tank, so the gas line was broken, all these different things, and when we picked up the gas can, it still had gas in it, okay? And so we get to looking at it, and we look at the license on the boat, and the last time the boat was licensed was 1991. Okay? So we're talking 25 years since that motor's been running. And he thinks, oh, let's see if we can get this running. Okay? So we take the boat motor out to the horse trough. We put the boat motor in the horse trough because there's water there. We dump the gas out, which wasn't really gas anymore, out of the gas tank. Okay? We dump that out. We put some new gas in it, some new oil. I take my knife out and I slice the old gas hose and we stick it on there. We didn't blow it out or anything. You know the little pump-up bulb in the gas line? You got that little black bulb, you know, you're supposed to pump up? I am not joking. I'm not exaggerating. It was like a rock. It was so hard when we first grabbed it. I mean, Larry went, well, I don't know about this one. And so I just kept squeezing it. It finally softened up a little bit. And he went to go get some tools because we knew we were going to need tools to get this thing going. So we put the gas in there, hooked it up to the thing. I literally took the bulb and I put it between my legs and I was going like this, squeezing the gas bulb. It was so hard. And all of a sudden I heard gas go up. He was still away. This motor has not run for 24, 25 years. Pulled the choke out. Not joking. Pulled the choke out, pulled it three times and it started. Oh my gosh, is right. I couldn't believe it. It was absolutely, it would just idle. And we fiddled around with it and found out that the carburetor was kind of messed up. You can either go really fast or really slow, one of the two right now at this point in time. So I'm just telling you that story for a reason. We're going to get there. But I'm just going to let you know, if you want to earn like $10,000, I think we're going to go out on the lake maybe this afternoon with this boat. So if you want to come out and video it, there's a good chance for $10,000. I don't know. But it could be pretty humorous to come out and check this out. But why do I say all that? Because the passage, and it made me laugh, because when I finally did get back in the office and re-looked at my passage, it was from Ephesians chapter 5, and it was this. And I literally laughed, because when I opened my Bible up to re-look at the passage and try to figure out what's going on, this is a passage, this is the verse I've been looking at this week, along with another one. It says, wake up, O sleeper. You hear that? Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And I laughed because I just thought, you know what? That's exactly what we experienced. We saw an old boat motor that's been sitting there for 24, 25 years, and it has a new life right now. Been sitting idle, doing absolutely nothing for 24 years. And with just a little bit of the right inspiration, with the right chance, it fires to life. But let's look at what's going on in this passage. Because really, it's Paul talking to each one and every one of us. He was talking to the people of Ephesus, but he's also talking to us. If you go back to verse 8, it says, for you were once in darkness. How many of you can relate to that? Any of you ever once in darkness? Sometimes I feel like I go through it a little bit right now. Go through the valleys of the shadow of darkness, okay? For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out, listen to what it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Did you hear that? Find out what pleases the Lord. You see, real life that we're talking about here in this world, we've got life. We've got everyday things going on and all this stuff happening in our worlds and in our families and surrounding us in our communities and all the headlines in the newspapers and on the internet and all this sort of stuff. But real life is finding out what God has in store for you, what He has intended for your life, because everything else is just, it's just living. It's just going through the motions. You see, real life is in fellowship with God, finding out what He wants us to do. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. Basically what Paul is saying, he says, I want you to wake up and recognize what the light is doing. The light is going to reveal all evil. So I want you to recognize it now. I want you to rise up from the dead and start becoming what God intended you to become. Start being what God intended you to be and start doing what God intended us to do as an individual, as a church, as an entire church in the world. Because the job has not changed. It's still the same. To reach the world with the good news, not the burden, but the good news of Jesus Christ. That he died for our sins. That his love abounds. And do it in such a way that they hear the message and they understand it. It's kind of amazing this morning that we sang. Nathan and I were talking about it. He was asking me what I was preaching about this morning, and I told him, and we sang a song, One Thing Remains. You guys remember singing that? It's like the second song we sang. I'm going to read the words to you real quick. It says, your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. It's higher than the mountains that I face. It's stronger than the power of the grave. It's constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. And on it goes. It overwhelms, and satisfies my soul. And I never have to be afraid. This one thing remains. In death, in life, I'm confident. And I'm covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Look at this passage in Philippians. Chapter 3 and verse 12 of Philippians. Paul writes, and you have to understand, when Paul wrote this, you love this one? I love it too. You have to understand, when Paul wrote these words, he's in jail, okay? He was thrown in jail for witnessing for Christ. As a matter of fact, he could not go out of jail. People could come and see him, but he was in jail. And you could just imagine what was going through Paul's mind each time that he got thrown in jail, or each time that he got stoned, or each time that he got the lashes, or each time that all the different things, all the punishments that Paul was going through throughout his entire ministry. I can't imagine him continuing on with all the trials. I would think most of us, after two or three imprisonments, would say, well, maybe I'm not doing the right thing, or maybe I should quit. Or, you know what, these stones are kind of hurting. I think I can find a posher job than this. But Paul doesn't do that. In the midst of his trial, in the midst of prison, this is what he writes to the Philippians. Not that I have already obtained it, all this, or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of, now listen to what it says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And that passage is kind of funny. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So for what reason did Christ Jesus take hold of you? Remember the song. Why did Jesus grab hold of you? Why did he come to the earth to die for you? Love. For what reason are we to live? It's this idea, but I press on to take hold of that. I press on to take hold of that love. That amazing, incredible love that Christ Jesus took hold of me. For no other reason do we do anything that we're doing except for the reason and the motivation of love. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says, I haven't got a full grasp of it. And this is Paul talking. And this could have been David talking. This could have been Peter talking or John talking. Every single one of them are going to say the same thing. I don't know that I have a full grasp of God's love for me yet. But I continue. This is what he says. But I continue. But this one thing I do. Remember the song? This one thing? This one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want you to listen to right there, that idea of forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think a lot of us are like the boat motor. I got to think about this last night, the whole idea of wake up, old sleeper, wake up. You need to start forgetting what was behind and start straining towards what is ahead. Because what's going on in the church today and what's going on in our church and the church as a whole today is there are a lot of sleepers. A lot of people who are sitting in the barn covered up with old plastic and old things and they're just waiting, I guess. And I'm going to tell you right now, today is a day that the waiting is over. Today is a day that Jesus, not Eldon, but Jesus Christ is calling you out of retirement, is calling you out of the doldrums that you've got yourself in, into the idea that, oh, I'm not able, or I tried this once and it didn't work, or I've already done my part, I did my work, now it's time for me to relax and let the next generation take over. I am calling you out of those ideas. I'm wanting you to forget what is in the past, the good things and the bad, the words, the actions, the failures, they're done. Because we cannot go back and change a single moment of yesterday. Do you understand that? And we're not going to let yesterday keep us from what God has in store for tomorrow. There is so much work to be done right now. And the time is clicking faster and faster and faster and faster. We need to wake up, O sleepers. Let the dust be blown away. Let the fresh gas of the Holy Spirit enter into you and rejuvenate you and let you know that you have worth and power and ability to accomplish amazing things in the name of Jesus. In the days to come, the task is going to look huge. It's going to look large. It's going to look too big for any one person to handle. And guess what? It is. But together as a body of believers, there is nothing that is impossible for God. For those who believe in Him and trust in His ability, and His providing, His provision, and His power, and His ability. Don't think I'm talking to somebody else this morning. Don't think that I'm calling someone else out or that Jesus is talking to you. He's talking to you right now. It's time to put priorities right. To do what He's calling you to do. You know, I didn't want to bring this up, but I'm going to. There's changes coming. There's changes coming for our community. You guys realize that just in the last week? There's major changes coming for us. For us, for our kids, things that are happening right here in our own community that's going to make things a little bit different. You know what? We can sit back and say, oh man, this is terrible. Or we can start preparing for an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with our community. Not just Walnut. I'm talking about the entire surrounding area. We can plan ahead to be an impactful presence in this area. We have the heart and the desire to do it. But we all need to come out. We all need to wake up, O sleeper, and get ready. This is what Nathan said. It's a time right now not to think that prayer is something that we should take for granted. It's time right now for us to be on our knees, to prepare, let God prepare our hearts and our minds for what He has in store. I'm letting you know right now it's coming. We need to be ready. We are living in a community, we are living in a world that needs Jesus in a desperate, desperate way, more than they know themselves. And He has given us the light and the ability to be that witness for Him. Are you willing? I know He's able, but are you willing? Be uncomfortable, to sacrifice, and to be ready to move. Forget what's behind. Press on towards what's ahead. the prize that he has set before us in Christ Jesus. Amen? You're thinking, what is it? You'll hear. This way. It's coming. It is. And it's going to be overwhelming. Overwhelmingly wonderful. Let's stand as we sing this song of invitation.